got it to work, but no one's talking. You can pause it.
Good morning. That do?
Yeah.
Say this to all.
Oh, a joke.
A joke? Ah, it's Chedesh Zohar. We used to do that in the good old days, no? Okay. Rav Nachum, Mechubad. That's a good Ador joke.
I didn't prepare one.
We've mentioned a number of times, especially those who come to our parasha shir, that sometimes we look for skulos. We call the skula. We like to look for all different skulos, and sometimes we overlook the most important of them all. In fact, just yesterday I was learning with my chavrusa, with Bernard Bloch. We're learning the halachas of Birkas Hamozon. Mr. Brewer quotes in the name of the Sefer HaChinuch that if somebody says Birkas Hamozon deliberately and slowly and is careful to say it, muvtach loy, he's guaranteed parnasa for the year. Sefer HaChinuch, as quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. A guarantee. Guarantee from the Mishnah Berurah. So what more do you need? So we have these skulos, as it were, brought by Rabbi Seinu, Harishonim, and Gedolei HaPoskim, and we don't really therefore need to look further. We don't need to look further. And sometimes we do look further for all the fancy schmancy stuff. Do this and do that and do that. And sometimes there's a simple basic skulos. The zechus of davening, the zechus of tefillah, those are really back to basics, to the most precious of them all. So why am I mentioning this? Because, actually, Mamash Siyata D'Shmaya, the fellow who you just saw walk in, is a member of our kehilla, and that's what I want to mention to you now, as a chizuk, because it was a chizuk to me. And you might have noticed he's been here in the mornings recently. Reb Nachum, anachnu medabrim alecha. Tum medaber anglit? Tum medaber anglit? Kodem kol, zeh Reb Nachum Hofbauer, echad ma'akila. Efshar, everyone can wish him mazel tov. His daughter just got engaged. Yes, but Baruch Hashem. Medabrim alecha.
Doesn't look old enough.
What about young, Baruch Hashem. But Reb Nachum chizek oti. Mutar lefarsem ze b'shmecha? Mamash, mamash chizek oti. Reb Nachum, echad me'amudei hakehila shelanu, is at the moment he joined the morning seder. Lomay Papa said, Boke. At the moment, he doesn't have work. He's also just got engaged. He told me last week, since joining the Koilel a month ago, he and his family have been zeicher to all types of Yeshuas. Kacha ze, kacha adkan. Ze chizek oti. Ani lo yachol lagil lecha kama ze chizek oti. Omnam sheze bemet dvarim pshutim. It's pashut. We know there's no skula kateira. That's, I was just reading from the Siddur. What do we say on Simchas Torah? You know the song that they always sing. Everyone knows, you have to think of the words. Ein skula kateira. Ein oiskeho ki Yisrael. Nachmu chapsim kol mine skulot, yafot, vetavot. Ein skula kateira. Ein skula kateira. Mishu mitchazek. Torah, or it could be somebody who will tell you that I can't learn the whole morning Seder. Why? Either physically, ani lo yachol, or I'm too busy. So what does that mean? So he can't be zeicher to this? Of course he can. We know we have a Yisocha, we have a Zvulun, or Limut Torah, or Hachzokas Torah. Sunday morning, I went to Matzah's Yom Rishon Baboker. One of the Bnei Akehila אתה מבין אנגלית? One of the Bnei Akihila came with us to Afias Matzes, and I don't know why he approached me, I'm actually in the middle. He said, I just want to tell you something. He said, היה לי בעיות בפרנסה. He said, difficulties in Parnasa. He doesn't have a fixed income. He does work, he does jobs for people, plumbing and shiputzim, so that he's very much dependent on if he gets work, he has parnasa, if not, then not. And he had a bit of a difficulty, kshayim b'parnasa. He says to me, he says, in the last few weeks, he says to me, you've been saying in the drushas on Shabbos and Friday night, v'shinyan, v'itchazek, v'limutayo, זה מביא סייאטה דשמיה. ככה זה היה הנושא שדיברנו עליו הרבה. We've been speaking about limutayo a lot this winter as well. So he said, I decided, because of your drasha, I'm joining the night seder here. We have a night seder here. It's not a kollel, we don't pay. Balabatim from our kollel, come and learn. He said, I decided I'm joining a night seder. It's like an hour and a quarter. He said, I joined the night seder. The next day, someone called me out with a job, parnasa for 3 months. The next day! It's boduk umanusa. Rabbi say it's boduk umanusa. You know what boduk umanusa mean? Tried and tested. Ein skula katera. Mishumit chazek obalimotera obachzokatera. I've heard Rav Kornfeld say, Rav Zedek, you were there when I heard it too. He has three supporters of his kollel. One of them I know. Two of them I don't. He said all three of them, since they've begun supporting his kollel, all of them have seen their business go through the roof in profit. Mamash. Yedichu leden, millionim. Ein skula katera. Ein skula katera. If someone is mischazek in limutera, then what one sees, Yeshua is skula is. We don't have to go for the fancy schmancy. Skula is ein skula katera, where the person learns a bit harder, where that person is supports Tera in a difficult way. It's become very much, this is the theme of the month. Zayasot Shel HaChodesh has been a big campaign for Sorotskin 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think yesterday, Behayom, for Yisachar Be'alecha, the Groh Shul are running, Bet Knesset HaGroh Ba'alef, Mokem Tera, Mamash, Lo Yu'uman, unbelievable. They've got a big campaign, and Yom Melech, I'm telling you, though I have not been asked by Yom Freilich to run a campaign the Grah, but I'm telling you, anybody who is mechazek, others learning Torah, mischazek himself, you see Yeshua is boduk umanusa, boduk umanusa. Every one of us, kol echad meitanu, everyone needs Yeshua's. You know anybody who doesn't need Yeshua's? Everybody, whether it's in Shalom Bayis, whether it's in Parnosa, whether it's Chinuch Hayelodim, whether it's in health, whether it's in Gashmias, in Ruch, everyone needs their thing. So obviously we daven, but the more one connects, כמה שיותר מתחברים לתורה, לימוד תורה, או החזקת תורה, בודק ומנוסה, בודק ומנוסה. Somebody knocked on my door last night. שהוא פה בשכונה, he's not from הקהילה, אתה לא מכיר אותו. I have a cash with him. He says, you have a kollel, I want to be a chelek in your kollel. אני רוצה להיות שותף, אני אקח אברך לשנה. בלי, לא ביקשתי ממנו, I didn't ask him anything, just dropped off an envelope of several thousand shekels. I said to him, אני מחכה על טלפון. I'm waiting for a phone call from you to tell me that you saw Siyata Deshmaya completely unexpected. Completely unexpected. This is not a fundraising campaign, but Emma's not a fundraising campaign. It's a chizuk. And I'm not even talking about money. Lemu Teira, anything to do with Teira. Eitz Chayim Hi, Lamachazikim Bo. Machzik Teira, how you machzik Teira. Either you support others learning, or you mischazik in your own learning. It's Eitz Chaim. That's how chi is. En derech acher. En derech acher. En derech acher. There's no other way. There's no other way. Ein sgula kateira. That's what I'm also going to say. Mi shelo ma'amin, tedaber Rav Nachum. Hu yechazek otcha. Mazal tov, Rav Nachum. That's the main thing. The truth is, that was always my dream. My dream that people should have a mokum Torah to come to. If this place wouldn't have a kollel in the morning, then he wouldn't come here to learn. He's not going to come and turn the lights on and learn by himself and then walk out. It's not very schmatzig. You create a mokum Torah and then you create somewhere where you want to be part of. Whichever shul or kehillah or atmosphere you belong to, it's so important The more one connects to Torah, the more siyata d'shmaya you have, which of course brings us back to Purim. Why does it bring us back to Purim? Because the most unexpected, the most remarkable miracle of all was Purim. It was all a nes nistar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, how many times does it appear in the Megillah?
Zero.
Why? Because it was all hidden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the whole show from the first word till the last word, but you didn't see it clearly. So what brought about the Siyata Dishmaya? What does it say in the Gemara? What happened on Purim? They were makabel Torah mechadash. Ayudim hoisa oira, oira zu Torah. It says they were makabel Torah once at Har Sinai, and they were makabel it again, be'ahava, on Purim. Kabbal Torah, you have Siyata Dishmaya. I don't see it in the most remarkable way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will orchestrate it and bring it about. So that's really the theme of the month. Be'emes, the theme of the month. I'm just sharing with you two conversations I had within the space of 3 days. Thursday night, Sunday morning. Be'ez Hashem. Okay, I think we should continue. Like I said, a guy knocked on my door last night. I want to take an avrich for a month. I turned on my computer this morning. After being bombarded by all the grower emails, I saw there was another email. So I sifted through all the grower emails. That took about half an hour. I have to read Ramesh Zelig's letter, and Potash's letter, and Revival Wise's letter. All three of them absolutely beautiful. And I see another email. Guy that also had a close kasha with, completely unexpectedly said, yeah, I want to give 1,000 shekel a month to your kodal from now on. Without any rhyme or reason. So that Torah brings Siyata Dishmaya for further Torah. So we're now considering Be'ez Hashem, we're considering very, very strongly expanding to the afternoon as well. We have a morning kodal at the moment. Afternoon, yeah. Wherever you are, whether you're Mishkafayim or Ma'alef or Ish Kodesh or the Gro or whatever, Darach Yitzhak, that's the greatest school we can be involved with. Chazak Torah, our own Torah, and other people's Torah. So, whilst we're on the subject of Torah, we're in the middle of a very, very Geshmaka Sugya on Daf Nun, Dalad, Omed, Beis. Now, if you remember from last time, it's a bit of a complicated Cheshbon. So let's just very, very briefly recap where we're up to. The story thus far. We had a question. The Mishnah said, what's the most amount of tekiyas that you can have? 48. The Gemara said, I don't understand. What happened to Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos? You can have much more than 48. How many? 51, 57. What was the Gemara's answer? No. That doesn't get into the Mishnah. Why not? Because it doesn't happen every year. What do you mean? Erev, Shabbos, which is Sukkos, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, that also doesn't happen every year. What do you mean doesn't happen every year? Of course it does. No, it doesn't. Because if the first day of Yom Tov is Friday, there's no Simchas Beis HaSheva. Therefore, even though, of course, there'll always be an Erev Shabbos every Sukkos, but there won't always be 48. So how can you possibly tell me that we're very particular? Only to mention in the Mishnah, annual occurrences, it's not true. So the Gemara said, no, it is true. What about first day Yom Tov on Friday? Can't happen. Why can't it happen? Because if ever there was a prospect of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which would mean in turn also the first day of Sukkot, being on a Friday, what would Beis Din do?
Add a day.
Why would they do that? Why would they be Ma'aber Elul? Why would they do that?
Push Yom Kippur off to Sunday.
Because we don't want Yom Kippur on a Sunday. Why don't we want Yom Kippur on a Sunday? So Rashi said, look in the Gemara on Shabbos, either for the food going off or because of the maize. Either way, we don't want Yom Kippur on a Sunday. Now, if Rosh Hashanah, and in turn Sukkos, is on a Friday, then when will Yom Kippur be?
Sunday.
We don't want that. So if ever there was a prospect of Rosh Hashanah landing out on Friday, we'd always push it off by one day. such that Rosh Hashanah would not be on a Friday, and rather it would be on Karbonos, Yom Kippur, Chal, Motzei Shabbos. And then we had a discussion about when Yom Kippur is a Motzei Shabbos, you make Havdalah. The question being, so you see quite clearly that you can have Yom Kippur on Sunday, Motzei Shabbos Sunday. What if that's the case, and we're back to square one? Why are we back to square one? It's like the dominoes game. You knock one down, everything falls down. If Yom Kippur can be on a Sunday, then Rosh Hashanah can be on a Friday. And if Rosh Hashanah can be on a Friday, then Sukkot can be on a Friday. And if Sukkot can be on a Friday, then you won't have 48 necessarily every year. And if the Mishnah still mentioned it, you see that we're even happy to mention cases that don't happen every year. In which case, Chag Gadol, back to square one. So therefore, why didn't you mention Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos? You see all the stages? We're all going back to Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos. The only answer we had to Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos is, you're right that there's more than 48, but that doesn't qualify for the Mishnah because it's not an annual event. We need to work out whether our Mishnah is really being strict in only mentioning annual events or not. And if it turns out we have two sources to suggest that we're more than happy for Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot to be on a Friday, then we are in big, big trouble. What's the Gemara's answer? This is where we left off with on Thursday. We're going to see today, you're right and you're wrong. Meaning, there's a machlokes. It's a machlokes, there's two opinions, so don't be upset. Our Mishnah only mentions annual events. Sukkot being on a Friday, Rosh Hashanah being on a Friday, it can't happen. That's the opinion of our Mishnah. What did you ask? That I've got two sources to suggest that what? That it can happen? That's a different opinion. It's machlokes. In other words, it's all very simple. Can you have Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot on a Friday? In turn, can you have Yom Kippur on a Sunday? One word answer, machlokes. Our Mishnah says, no, you cannot. And the other two sources that we brought before say that you can. There's no point trying to resolve the two, it's just a machlokes. That's the Gemara, that's what we're up to. Have a look at the second last narrow line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, loy kasha. It's not difficult at all. It's not difficult at all. Why? Ha rabbonon, ha achirim. You have it, the second narrow line? Ha rabbonon, ha achirim. Have a look at Rashi. Rashi's on the sixth wide line. Ha rabbonon, ha achirim. Masni, sorry.
Doesn't have to count the Rashi line so fast.
You know the one with the sheep and the sheep's legs? We've said that before, no? It's a fat dog. The professor was in a field looking, saw the massive flock of sheep there, hundreds and hundreds of sheep. Didn't know how many they were. So he asked this uncultured, uneducated, illiterate farmer, how many sheep have you got here? He said, let me just see. 427. Wow, how did you count them so quick? I said, it's easy. I just counted all the legs and divided by four. Simple as that. Yeah, on the sixth wide line, it's not so hard to count to six. They say that Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, you heard of Maril Diskin? They say he had this phenomenal koyach. If I were to ask you, how many sforim can you see on this table? Or, look at this. How many items do you see in front of you? Say one. Okay, how many now? Two. How many now? Three. So as soon as you see it, you can see three. If there be 12 of them, you wouldn't just look at it and say 12. You'd say one, two, three, four. You have to count it. If you see three, you don't really count it. You just see three. Most people can go up to about three or four or maybe even five, but after that you have to start counting it. They say in the name of Maril Diskin was a Goyen Adi, Ilui. He looked at a tree, he got one glance, and how many leaves were on the tree. Have you heard of the Chabina Rov? Chabina Rov, a Goyen Olam, he was married to my great-grandfather's sister. but he had bigger claims to fame than that. And Yukala Teira Kule was an Ilui Otsum. I never told you the story about the store that wiped the numbers off the wall. Two people came to the Chabina Rov. He said, we have a big shaila lahalocha, we don't know what to do. What's the question? He says, I own a store, and people come into my store every so often, and they buy whatever they buy, and they don't necessarily pay me on the spot, which is fine. And we keep a record of how much they owe me, and at the end of the month, we tally it all up, and they pay. Now, where do I keep my records? This is pre-smartphone, iPhone. He says, I have a wall over here, my big white wall, and I write a number here, you know, he owes me 5 rubles. And then Shimon comes in, 6 rubles, and Reuven comes back, 5 rubles, owes me another 3. And all the wall is covered with all these numbers. At the end of the month, fine, I look for all the Reuvens. Reuven, now there's 3, and there's 4, and 7, there's 2.5, and I add all up, and he pays me. So what's the shaila? He said, well, I don't know what to do, because he said, just yesterday we had a cleaning lady who came to our shop, and she cleaned the wall off. So the wall is now glistening white, but she's deleted all the records. I have no way of knowing how much, in fact, is owed to me. Big shaila. So, you know, he's fully prepared to pay me however much he owes, but I genuinely don't know. So Shmuel Rav said, that's not a problem at all. It's not a problem. So yeah, it's very simple. He owes you, whatever, 64.5 rubles. Okay, if you say so. And how did you know? He said, I happened to be in your store yesterday, just before the cleaning lady, and I noticed, so, 64.5. That's all that was written in the wall. He had a photographic memory, obviously. I'll call upon him. 6th line. Sorry, Rav Nachum. Ho Rabbonon, ho Acherim. Masnisin Rabbonon. Our Mishnah is the opinion of the Rabbonon, de Pligi, who argue ad Acherim. They argue with Acherim, v'omri, and they say, Ma'abrin HaChodesh, whose day? The Rabbonon say that what? You expand the Chodesh and you push off so that Rosh Hashanah will never be on a Friday. Why? Because we don't want Yom Kippur on a Sunday. V'omri, they say, Ma'abrin HaChodesh L'tzoyrech. We'll be ma'aber. What does the word ma'aber mean, by the way? Literally means impregnate. Becomes fatter. The month will become fatter. Like this year is a Shana Ma'uberes. They say that you can be ma'aber the chodesh letzoyrech if indeed the necessity arises. Hilkoch, therefore, Rosh Hashanah, be'erev Shabbos, loy mikla, can never happen. If you hold the Yom Abba the Chodesh Letzoyrech, then what? Rosh Hashanah on a Friday can never happen. Why not? Dedochinami. Because we'd always push it off and make sure that it jolly well doesn't happen. Vahanach Masnisin. And all those brises that you brought in the Gemara, Da Omri Mikla. All those brises that seem to suggest that it does happen, because remember they spoke about Yom Kippur on a Sunday, v'loy omrinon dochinon, comma, and they clearly did not hold you, push it off. Who's talking there? Achirim he. It's achirim. Da omri, they say, ein, underline, ein ma'abrim es achodesh letzairech. So you have a machlokes, ma'abrim, or Ein Ma'abrim. If you hold Ein Ma'abrim, what does that basically mean that you hold about the Jewish calendar? That it's fixed. 29, 30, you exactly know which month has how many days. There's no such thing as tampering with the calendar. So therefore, if indeed the calendar is fixed, what does that mean the calendar is fixed? 29, 30, 29, 30. So then, yes, indeed, it might well be in the law of statistics. Yeah. Rosh Hashanah will fall out from time to time on Friday. There's nothing to do about it, and Yom Kippur will be on a Sunday. Our Mishnah, however, that we insisted, holds that Rosh Hashanah can not be on a Friday. Either law of statistics says it will. You're right. But this is the Rabbonon, and the Rabbonon say that we will never allow it to fall on Friday. Why? Because we're mi'aba the chodesh letzeirach. What does it mean letzeirach? Only the zesty. We don't just go around making, well, this one will have a month of 78 days. We'll add the extra day if there's a necessity. Yom Kippur, not falling on a Sunday, is considered a necessity. So therefore, everything is just fine and dandy. Why is it fine and dandy? Because it turns out, can Rosh Hashanah be on a Friday?
Not according.
Machlokes. According to the Rabbonon, no, it cannot. According to Acherim, yes, it can. And in turn, can Yom Kippur be on a Sunday? That's the same machlokes. If Rosh Hashanah could be on a Friday, obviously Yom Kippur could be on a Sunday. So therefore, if we stop here for a moment, are we good or are we not good? We're good, according to the Rabbonah. Who is our Mishnah? It's the Rabbonah. The opinion of our Mishnah is that Rosh Hashanah can never fall out on a Friday, so that Yom Kippur shouldn't fall on a Sunday. In turn, can the first day of Sukkot be on a Friday? No, because it's obviously 2 weeks after Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, our Mishnah is very good. When the Mishnah said that Erev Shabbos, which is Sukkot, there's 48, is that an annual event? Yes, it is an annual event. Why is it an annual event? Because you'll never have a Friday first to Yom Tov. In theory, if you'd have a Friday first to Yom Tov, yeah, then there wouldn't be 48 because of Sukkot with Sheva. Don't worry, it can never happen. Why can it never happen? Because we won't allow it to happen. Ah, but we bought two braces that say that it can happen. Shkayach, that's a different opinion. Which opinion is that? The opinion of Acher. Fine. Now, what is this opinion of Acher? Where have we ever seen the opinion of Acher? Says the Gemara, D'Tanya. Because we have a braise, and it says, Acherim Oimrim. Acherim saved. Ein, bein, atzeres, la atzeres. Ve'ein bein Rosh Hashanah le'Rosh Hashanah elo arba'o yomim bilvad. There will never be between one Rosh Hashanah and the next, or one Shavuos and the next, a gap of anything but 4 days. What does that mean, 4 days? It means if Rosh Hashanah this year, in theory, is on a Tuesday, then you know that next year Rosh Hashanah will be on a Shabbos. And the year after that?
4 days.
Wednesday. And the year after that? Sunday, etc., etc., etc. There's always a four day in the week, difference between one Rosh Hashanah and the other. And he said in conclusion, V'im Hoysa Shana Mu'uberes. And if the Shana was a Mu'uberes, wasn't in the Shana Mu'uberes, like this year of Ador Sheni, then Chamisha. Now, how do you get to this cheshbon? So let's just mention it, we'll explain it, and then we'll see how Rashi explains it. If you hold that you're not ma'aber the chodesh letzeirich, the word letzeirich over here is the optimum word. Why is it the optimum word? Because ein ma'abrim the chodesh letzeirich doesn't mean that we're not ma'aber the chodesh ever. Of course we are. Every second month we are. But other than that, we never, ever ma'aba the chodesh just out of necessity. Which means, you will always have the following series. 30, 29. 30, 29. 30, 29. 30, 29. Again, and again, and again, and again. Now, 30, is that considered mu'ubar? Yes. 30 is considered mu'ubar. Why do we do this, by the way? So as Rashi is going to explain to us, because essentially, how long is a month?
29
and a half. So you can't have a half day. So if you do 1 month 29 and 1 month 30, then you're sorted out. Now, let's make a very simple cheshbon. It's very, very simple to work out. If you have 29 and a half, which, how are we going to get there? By having a 29 month and then a 30 month, that's 59 days over the course of 2 months, which is 29 and a half on average per month. So how many days will that give you per year?
354.
It'll give you exactly 354. How do you get to that cheshbon? Very simple. Imagine every month would be 30 days. if every month would be 30 days, then it would be every chodesh would be mole, and then it would be 30 times 12, which is 360. But because we're learning over here that we're odd, the half of them only get 29, so we've lost how many days? Six from 360, so we get that every shana is 354. Simple as that. Okay, one more line of the cheshvan. How many days are there of the week? Seven. So if I would have 50 weeks in the year, 50 times 7 would get me to 350. But we just said, how long is the year?
354.
So that's how we get to the cheshbon. Now from one Rosh Hashanah to another, will always be 4 days later in the week. Because every year, according to this opinion, is 50 weeks and 4 days. And the next year, 50 weeks and 4 days. And the next year, every year, 50 weeks and 4 days. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah, two successive Rosh Hashanahs, obviously can't be on the same day of the week. It can always be 4 days later. If you have a Shana Mu'uberes, how long is the Shana Mu'uberes? The Adar Sheni, is it 29 or is it 30? It's 29. As we're going to see in a moment. If it's 29, 29 is what? 4 weeks and a day. So therefore, I've got a remainder of 5. So it's no longer 50 weeks and 4 days. It's actually 54 weeks and 5 days. That's what Acherim meant, very simply, when he said, between every Rosh Hashanah, until the next Rosh Hashanah is 4 day gap, unless it's a Shana Mu'uberes, then you'll have a 5 day gap. Now, what do I see from that opinion?
There's no manipulation.
There's no manipulation. Exactly. That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. This is Acherim's way of telling us that there's no such concept of being Ma'aber the Chodesh Lutzeirach. Because if there was, then what? Then how can you possibly give me this cast iron rule that Rosh Hashanah is always 4 days apart? How do you know? Maybe you'll add a day here and there. Shlomo Beres is 5. How do you know? There's no fixed rule. According to the Rabbanon, what's the difference between the two Rosh Hashanahs? We don't know. Depends on how many months that year happened to be Mu'u Beres, and what will that depend on? If there's a Tzerech. If Beis Din decided there's a tzarech here and there to add the extra day, then obviously that will push off Rosh Hashanah the next year by a day, or by 2 days, or by three. Therefore you can't present a rule. According to the Rabbanon, there's no rule. But if Acherim gave me this cast iron rule, 4 day gap, 4 day gap, 4 day gap, I see one thing from Acherim, that the calendar is fixed. Says Rashi, on the 8th wide line, Elo arbo'o yomim bilvat, says Rashi. Im ze be'echod b'shabbos, if, what does ze mean? This what? If this year, it was on echod b'shabbos, what was on echod b'shabbos? Rosh Hashanah, for example, then yochul, it will fall l'shona habo'o b'chamishi b'shabbos. If this year it was on the first day of the week, Sunday, then the next year you can be rest assured that when will it fall out? On the fifth day, dahainu arbo'o yomim. That is exactly 4 days. That is the cheshbon. Now, says Rashi, how do you get to that 4 days? So Rashi says what we just said before. V'zeh haseda, this is the order of events. I will now explain to you, says Rashi, how it is you get to the 4 day rule. Lafi moilad levono. This is the seda, lafi the moilad. What does the moilad mean? The occurrence. What's literally a translation of moilad? The birth. Like noilad or leda, yelet. This is the cheshbon lefi moilad levonahu, shebein moilad lemoilad. From moilad to moilad, meaning from month to month, from the birth of the new moon, how much is there? How much time elapses? Esrim v'teisha yom. 29 days, umechza, and a half. Which means, l'shnei moeldois. So I have two successive births of a moon, that will be altogether chamishim v'tisha. 29 and a half times two is 59. Nimtza, it therefore turns out, how I need to get 59 days per 2 months. How do you do that? Very simple. Mole chase, mole chase, mole chase, mole chase. How much is a mole?
30.
And a chase is 29. Perfect. So 30 and 29 is 59. Nimtza, kol chodshe hashana. It therefore will turn out that all the months of the year, how will they be set up? Echod mole, the echod chase. One full, one lacking. One full, one mole, one chase. One mole, one chase. That's fixed. And then you get 59 days every single 2 months. That's exactly what we're looking for. Va'acherim svir lehu. Acherim hold the ein ma'abrin. You do not expand. Ve'ein machasrin. Neither do you retract. Shum chodesh. Any single month. Letzeirach. I don't care what the necessity is. The calendar is fixed. Neither do you convert a 29 into a 30, nor do you convert a 30 into a 29. Elo koivin. What does koivin mean? Fix. We fix Roshei Chadoshim Echad Mole VeEchad Choser LeOilam keyword. What does LeOilam mean? Forever. There's no tampering. No such thing as a 29 becoming a 30. There's no such thing as a 30 becoming a 29. It's fixed. 30, 29. 30, 29. 30, 29. Molly Chose, Molly Chose, Molly Chose, Molly Chose. It will therefore turn out that Bein Pesach Le Pesach, or any other Yom Tov for that matter, will always be Dalet Yomim. You'd always have a difference of 4 days. Why? How do you know that? Very simple, says Rashi. Because we just said that we have Shisha, 6 months, which are Malayim. That means 30 days. For Shisha, Chaserim. And 6 short months. What does that get you to? Shalosh Meyos, 300, V'chamishim, and 50, V'arboim Yoim. What is 350 days? Says Rashi, 354 days, which is Hein Shalosh Meyos VeChamishim Yomim. 350 days is what Chamishim Shavuos, exactly 50 weeks. And how many days are remaining? Nimtzu Dalet Yaseirim. That's how you'll end up with 4 extra Bein Kvias Shana Zu Lekvias Shana Haba. Between the fixing of this year and that year, you'll always have a difference of how many days? 40. Very, very simple cheshbon. The year is 354, which is another way of saying 50 weeks and 4 remaining days. So if Rosh Hashanah this year is on a Sunday, and next year it'll be on a Thursday. And if next year is on a Thursday, then the year after that it'll be on a Monday. And the year after that it'll be on a Friday, and it'll never change. Except in one occurrence, says Rashi, V'im hoyoshana mu'uberes, then it'll be chamisha. How do you get to that? The Kosovar, because he holds that Chodesh Ha'ibur. What is the Chodesh Ha'ibur? Adar Sheni. The extra month, meaning the Adar Sheni, Lo'oilam Choser, is always Choser. I mean, how many days will it be?
29.
So Rashi does the mathematics for you again. Esrim v'shmoyne yomim shaloi. 28 of it is Arba'a Shavuos, is 4 weeks. Nimtza, it turns out, therefore, Yoim Echod Yeser, you have 1 extra day. I always had how many extras? 4. In the event of a leap year, you'd have an extra 1. Therefore, Tanehu, give that extra day al arbo'o yomim shebashona pshuta. Add that additional day to the four extras that you always have in a shana pshuta. What's a shana pshuta? In a simple regular year, and what will you get to? Says Rashi, hare chamisha. That's how you get to the magic number, 5.
There's 28 days?
No, it's 29 days. Says Rashi, how do you break down those 29? Rashi says, the chedesh chasem. Take 28. Esrim v'shmoni yomim sheloi. 28 of those 29. Okay. That's 4 weeks. That's a round number. And how many days will you have left over?
Okay, no,
one. So it's 4, remainder 1, as they used to tell us in school. Normally you have 50, remainder 4. On a leap year you have 54, remainder 5. Because you have an extra one to play with. Fine. So really that's the end of this sugya. In other words, if I want to know the principle that we established before, is it really true that Rosh Hashanah cannot be on a Friday and you can manipulate it? The answer is one word, machlokes. Machlokes. The Rabbanon say we manipulate, that's the opinion of our Mishnah. We had other sources that seem to suggest that you can have Yom Kippur on a Sunday. But who's talking there? Acherim. Acherim says no manipulation. Everything is absolutely rigid, steadfast, fixed. 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29. Lahavdil, elef, alfei havdolos. The Arab calendar, the Muslim calendar, is not tampered with. They don't have an extra month that we have a Shana Mu'ubar. Why do we have a Shana Mu'ubar? Why do we have Adar Sheni? Because we need to have some events of the year at particular times. For example, the most famous, you have to have Chodesh Ovid, the spring, that's when Pesach is. So if you don't add the extra month, you're going to end up on occasion that Pesach will come earlier and earlier, or later than later. There's a few other events, but that's one of them. Now, the Islam calendar, they do not manipulate, they have a fixed calendar. Which means, for example, when they have their Ramadan, which month of the year is Ramadan? It can end up all different, sometimes the summer, sometimes the winter, so there's no fixed rules. Because it's rigid, and if it's rigid, it can come out any month, any time, any day. Whereas with us, there's no such thing as by mistake Pesach ended up in the winter. No such thing. It can't happen. Because if ever there was a prospect of that happening, what would you do? You always add a little. Now, if we're on the subject of mathematics, the spring is dependent on what? On the sun or the moon? On the sun. How many days in the solar year? 365. How many days in the lunar year, as we just mentioned? 354. Which means, how many days are we short every year, lunar to solar? 11 days.
Or 12. Once every 4
okay,
years.
You're right. But let's call it 11. So, strictly speaking, the easiest way to ensure that Pesach would be in the spring is just to add 11 days every year to the calendar. But you can't do that because it's in blocks of months, either 29 or 30. It's got to be a chedesh sheni. So we need to every so often add 1 month, but it needs to work out at multiples of 11 because really we're 11 days short. So you ready for the maths? Nachum? Over the course of 19 years, we have a 19-year calendar. Did you know this? We have a 19-year calendar. Very, very simple. Always you think it's very, very complicated. It's dead simple. We're running at a loss of 11 days, a shortfall of 11 days every year. Over the course of 19 years, we'll have 19 times 11. What's 19 times 11? Very simple. What's 19 times 10? 190. Plus another 19 is 209. We'll call that 210 for argument's sake. Over the course of 19 years, do you agree we're losing 210 days? It's actually 209 days. Agreed? If I tell you that we're running at a shortfall of 210 days, now split that up into months. How many months can you get into 209 or 210 days? Seven. Because if a month is, let's say again, keep the numbers round for the moment. If a month is 30 days, 7 times 30 is 210. That's where we have the magic number. We have seven leap years in every 19 years. Because if you add 7 months every 19 years, instead of adding 11 years every year, 11 days every year, which we can't do, if you work out the mathematics, if you add 7 months over the course of 19 years, that's exactly how you make up the shortfall.
But the other base is only 29, not 30.
That's what I'm saying. So we have a bit to play with. Yeah, we have a bit to play, because it's not exactly 210, it's 209, but that's how the cheshbon works. So really, we have a 19-year cycle. Now again, further mathematics, but again, it's very, very simple. 7 does not really go into 19. It's not, 19 is not divisible by 7. So if we were to ask, well, how often do we have a leap year? We can't say it's every 2 years, every 3 years, because it's just not. It's 7 out of 19, which means it would be every second year or every third year. You can never go more than 3 years without having a leap year. And that's our cycle, that's our calendar, as simple as that. 7 out of 19 years, you add the extra month, the 29 or the 30, you'll make up a shortfall of approximately 210 days, which is how much we lose out following the lunar calendar with regard to the solar calendar. That's why we have 7 leap years in 19 years.
So every 19 years, the same English and the Hebrew date will be the
exactly.
same.
Yeah, that's why we were always taught in school that when does your Hebrew and English birthday fall out on the same day? Every 19 years. So when you're 19, 38, 57, 76, you should have the English symbols. I remember all very excited. I got to my, I heard this once, got to my 19th birthday, it didn't work out, it was a day out. I was all worried, maybe I was adopted after all this, I don't know. The answer is because I was apparently born on Friday night. So why does that change things? So you're born on Friday night, the English day is still today, but the Hebrew day is tomorrow. So my 19th and 38th and 57th birthday should be a day out. If it's 2 days out, then I really was adopted.
I'll speak to your folks.
Yeah, I'll speak to my guys. My father always used to tell my sister, she said, well, where's my birthday? She always said, well, I don't know. You know, the cornflakes boxes, you know, you always get like a promotional offer. We once just got you free with a cornflakes box, so we don't know when you were born. All right, we're into the Ador spirit, Baruch Hashem. Very, very good Shmaka Gemara. But you know what the big lesson of this all is?
Okay.
No. The lesson of this all is, like all of Torah, the more superficial one learns, the less enjoyable it is. So if I would tell you, okay, you know, every 7 years and 19 years and then 36 and 29, and then, it's all very dry. It's all, when you learn it from the sources, it all has so much more meaning. It's not just numbers, it's not just remembering a phone book off by heart. Oh, 7, 19, 29, 30. You learn the Gemara, you see the Rashi, the numbers all add up. It's a whole picture, it's very beautiful, very easy to remember, and more geschmack. So when you don't learn from the sources, it just becomes like a list of facts. Yeah, this is Mutter, and this is Asa, and this is 5, and this is 8, and this is 12, and this is Chayv, and this is Potter, and this is Tomer. Why? No idea, no explanation. Loses the whole time. Learn the Rashi, the Gemara, and the Cheshbonos. You learn it slowly, and everything's exactly organized and neat. 7 and 19, all makes perfect sense. It's not complicated at all. Make the Cheshbon, it makes perfect sense. Okay, everybody, be well.
Have a Shiloh.
More in Erfim talks about.